The following is part one of a lecture by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, recorded in Birmingham, Alabama, on February 23rd, 1992.
We seek our Lord Creator, whose most popular name among Muslims throughout the world is Allah, highly glorified is He, for the good outcome of everything that we start out to do or put our minds to do. We thank Him for the result of our work, and we trust that we will always receive good results from our good work. We witness that He alone is God. There is no partner with Him, no sonship, no children to inherit His power, His throne. We witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the last prophet, His servant, His messenger. We pray the prayers, peace be on him, that is Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, and what follows of that most excellent salutation or salute to the last prophet. I wanted to speak within the theme of these 2 days, exciting days for me and for you, on economics, or how Islam, how we as Muslims should benefit economically, or should approach economic concern. I'm not an economist, although I have read volumes on economics, and if I had the time, I would go to school and get a degree in economics. I love economics. I'm not an authority in the field of in the area of economics, not in the area of business either. But to be addressing such topics from that interest, from the pure interest in economics, but to address this concern as a common person, as a consumer, and most of all, as a Muslim who has knowledge of his religion, and I do claim that, is something I can do, and something that I think you expected me to do. I don't think you expected me to come out here with a lot of figures and data and all that kind of stuff, you know. Now, my talk will be mainly on discipline. Discipline. Most failures in anything are failures of discipline. You fail the discipline, you fail. And there are some basic disciplines that makes for success in almost anything that you may endeavor to do or to take up as a interest. And those essential disciplines are not addressed in any specific focus other than regard for what should be regarded. Now, you know, Muslims always say regard for Allah, regard for Allah. That is the number one with Muslims and regard-fearing people, whether Muslim, Christian, Jews, or whatever. That is the number one regard for the Lord Creator. We know that. But this term regard in our religion is not only for Allah first, but for other things as well. Our religion, in the Quran itself, the universal book of all Muslims, whether they are black, brown, yellow, red, or some other color, or whether they belong to this nation or that nation, Europe, the continent of Europe, or the continent of Africa, or some other continent. The one book for all of us is what the book called Quran by most English people, especially those outside of our circle and outside the Muslim circle. And it's called Quran, Quran. So you have to roll that tongue like the Spanish do. Quran. It's called Quran by the Muslims, and that's the proper Arabic pronunciation, Quran. That book, in that book, God says, that we should regard Allah, we should regard the family ties, translated in a very literal way by some, regard the wombs that bore us. But family ties, it means family ties, close family ties. We should regard a day in which there will be no one to come to your aid, or our aid. We'll be alone before God. We should regard the fire of hell, the hell fires. We should regard the hell fire. We regard the earthly fires, don't we? All of us, I don't care how drunk we get, we know better than stick our hand and warm up in the flame. We are people who are told to regard certain matters. And that term that is used, it's taqwa. Comes from taqwa. So our taqwa, that we have, most of Muslims know what taqwa is. Can I see the hands of the Muslims that know what taqwa means? Taqwa. Very good. Very good. Now you who are Muslims and didn't know, that, as I explained this, if you still don't know, you go home and beat yourself with a strap. Just like you a little baby. Just whip your legs just like you a little baby. Yeah, taqwa means conscious, being conscious of God, what God wants of us, or wants of me. It's a very personal thing, too. This taqwa is very personal. What God wants of me, being aware of it, being conscious of it, and being disciplined in my whole life, my mind, my thoughts, my spirit, everything, my behavior, so that I don't do anything that would bring God to be displeased with me. Now, none of us are perfect. No one is an angel. We all are human. With limited abilities. So we're going to make mistakes. We're going to commit sin. But we should always be a person with taqwa, that is, desiring never to do anything outside of what God has approved. So that's taqwa for God. That's taqwa for God. But that taqwa, does God need that from us? Does God need that? In our religion, Allah is bigger than creation. And you know we haven't measured creation yet. Man has become Superman. When you look back at man 100 or 50 years ago, he's become really a Superman. He's flying without a cape, going to the moon and other objects far away from us, much farther away from us than the moon. But he has no idea. Now, he may try to fool us sometimes, but really he has no idea where is the end of that. He hasn't been able to measure. All he knows is when he goes into another, he looks, he's still looking, and still more to see, and he never sees the end of it. Allah is bigger than the material universe, the creation itself. So he doesn't need anything from us, and that's the way it is in Quran. Allah in Quran, he's independent of all that he created. All that he created depends on him. He depends on nothing. He exists alone. Without food, without drink, without clothing, without flesh, without protection, without anything. That's made for his mortal creatures, not for him. You know, once I was talking to my daughter about Allah, and she was just ignoring me, because this is heavier even on our minds, you know. You can imagine how heavy it is. She's trying to imagine what I'm talking about. So she just kept ignoring me and ignoring me and just ignoring me. So I have patience. I have a lot of patience. So I didn't, for many years, I didn't even bring things like this to the little children. But now I feel like I feel I'm qualified to do it. So I know you have to have a lot of patience. So she kept on, and I said when you came in the house hollering and saying the mosquitoes are eating you up, I said, you know where the mosquitoes came from? I got her attention. I said, Allah created the mosquitoes. I said, next time they bite you, tell Allah stop them from biting you. So I got her attention. From there I went to other things. I said, you saw all those birds flying across the sky? Now see, I couldn't see it in Chicago. I'm in Little Rock now. Yeah, you never see anything flying across the sky. A squadron of jet planes has come from up there. You might not even know it. So she said, yes, I got attention now, you see. So I finally told her about Allah, and she heard what Allah is. She heard the description of who Allah is and what Allah is. And she had no problem. I was surprised. She had no problem understanding that Allah wasn't flesh and blood. I said, I'm glad I told her early. Well, let's see if I get back where I was now. Yeah, so this talk is about discipline. About discipline. And the disciplines that we are given for our own life, that so that we please God, so that we live a life acceptable before our Creator, are the disciplines that we need for success, no matter what the thing is we are discussing or we are thinking about. So I'm going to give you my position and my conclusion, my whole talk, in about 2 or 3 minutes. But I'm going to then go to the lengthy thing, okay? If we strive to please our Lord Creator, we are assured success. I don't care what you want to go into. You're assured success. If you want to go into business, if you want to be in religious work, dawah, propagation work, whatever it is, if you want to be in education, if you want to be in medicine, I don't care what it is. If you really make up your mind and you're very serious, more serious about this than any other thing, to please Allah, or God as you call him if you're not a Muslim, you're a Christian or something, you are assured success. Yes, now it doesn't mean that you're going to be rich if you want money in business, but you're assured success. Yes, see, it's not always the rich person who is successful who looked at business and say, I'm going into business. Sometimes his wealth destroys his family. Sometimes his wealth destroys him. Sometimes his wealth lands him in jail. Sometimes his wealth gets him killed. So it's not always success the way we see success. The real success is to be pleased. That's the real success. If I get all the money in the world and I'm in hell mentally, I'm not successful. So no guarantee that you're going to be rich. No. The guarantee is that you will be pleased.
Yes, sir.
And most likely, in fact, I can guarantee this. Take the same number of those people and mate them with the number of people that care nothing about that kind of respect for God. and let the two groups go at business, there'll be more from the God-fearing group succeeding in business than there'll be from the non-God-fearing group succeeding in business. Now, I guarantee that. Just look at the associates of mine. I call them associates because I don't want anybody calling me their leader or their follower unless you're calling me that without any heavy burden. Please, don't burden yourself and don't burden me. I ain't going to answer for your behavior and you ain't going to answer for mine. If you don't like me, then don't come listen to me. And if I don't like you, I don't have to see you. Now, isn't that nice? And let us all be good Muslims. Yeah, but I know we have to have leaders. We have to have leadership. And I know we all have to follow something. I follow a lot, believe me. If you're successful at leading, believe me, you're following a lot. What really matters is that we be good Muslims. That's the point. We are sure success if we make ourselves obey what we believe to be Allah's will for us. Yes, we assured success. Now, you don't have to know everything. Some people think, oh, I wish I could be a good Muslim. If I knew that Arabic like you, if I could recite that Quran like you, if I knew that Sunnah like you. No, all you got to have is a good heart like Abraham. A good heart like Abraham, and you will get everything that anybody else gonna get. Just like that, wealth not doesn't always mean success. Knowledge too. Get all that knowledge and have to go to a site every day. If he ain't gone, he's really crazy. Yeah, some people knowledge drive them out of their mind. Make them so strange, they think everybody else strange. They think the earth is populated by aliens and they're the only aliens. No, don't think any one thing is the answer other than desire to please Allah. That's the only one thing that's the answer. That is the answer. Everything else by itself is not enough. Now you say, oh, wait a minute now. The Quran by itself is not enough. Muhammad by himself, he's not enough. By Allah, by himself, he is enough. Allah says in the Quran that if any holds on to Allah, he will be brought back again even though he be in hell. That'll bring him out of hell. Now, ain't that some powerful stuff, man? And I bear witness. Because I remember a time in my life, I didn't have Prophet Muhammad. I didn't have the Quran. I didn't even have the right picture of Allah. And really, we can't have a picture of him. But I mean idea. Mind. I didn't have the right one. But I had faith in Allah. I had a belief that there's a God. I knew that I had to obey a God if I expect to be successful. I knew that it would eventually get me, that he'll get me eventually if I disobey. So I was obeying in the dark and believing that there was a God. And that brought me out of all the confusion I was in. So I'm a living witness. And you are too. We experienced this. Some of you were in the light. You say, but I didn't see your light. Disciplines are very important for us. When it comes to success, you know, Allah tells us what it will take to make us successful. He tells us in so many ways. But there is a particular passage from Quran that ties in business with the hope for put business into the focus with the hope for success. But business is treated as though you are missing the real thing when you're going at the dollar for success. And this is the way I'm commenting on it, because that's the way I'm getting it. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. And God speaks the truth. Now, let's give English. All you who believe, shall I turn you on to a business deal that will save you from a punishing affliction? Believe in Allah and in his messenger, and strive in Allah's path with your possessions, your wealth, and with your own souls, your own self. That is best for you if you only knew. That's what God says. Now, God used tijara. Tijara means commerce, business, enterprise. It means something that invites, promises profit. Profit. This offers material profit, material gain, tijara. He says, shall I turn you on to a business deal? Shall I turn you on to a business interest that will save you? He didn't say that will make you rich. Many people are rich, but they're lost. Then he tells us what to do. He says, to believe. Believe in Allah and in his messenger. Now this is in this context. It didn't say just believe in Allah. Right. Believe in Allah and in his messenger. Why? Because success in this material world depends. Some saint can be successful without a messenger. Yes, he can. Because he doesn't want anything. All he wants to do is just exist until God called him out of here, call him back. You know? He doesn't want woman. He's not looking for a wife. He's not looking for family. He doesn't want children. He's not looking to buy him a home or anything. He's sleeping in a cave or up in a tree. He doesn't want anything. But this statement here addresses people that want something of the world, because it uses tijara. That's money, enterprise, commerce, business. So you have to believe in God and in his messenger. Why? You have to believe in Allah and in yourself. The messenger is yourself. The messenger is the type that Allah wants you to be. Allah wants you to be like the messenger. So he is the ideal human model. You have to believe in God and also believe in the possibilities for yourself. And the possibilities for yourself are best seen in the possibilities demonstrated by Muhammad himself in his life. That man was successful in every respect. All around achiever. Yes. He managed the material world and the spiritual world. Was successful doing both of them. Praise be to Allah. You see? Yes. So it's not enough just believing God. No, believe in God and believe in his messenger. And what is another condition? That you struggle in the path of God with your possession. Anybody going in business for nobody but themselves, they're going to be a failure sooner or later. But if they're going in business to help a bigger cause, if they're going in business to help somebody that they are not expecting to get something from, See, when you go in business and you create 100 jobs, 1,000 jobs, surely you'll get fame. But when it comes to money, you're not going to get back the money. No way. Those people got that money, and they don't owe you a thing. Those workers are spending that money on themselves, their family, their cars. A lot of times they don't even know the boss or don't even know the investor. So you ain't going to get nothing materially from them, only your satisfaction that you're helping all those people maybe. But when it comes to actually getting your share of what you're producing, no. Your share is going to be given to many people. You're going to get a small share. Your share won't be all that you produce. Most of what you produce going to others. And many of them you will never see or know in your lifetime. If you grow big, materially, you'll never see them and never know them in your lifetime. So your money goes out from you and you won't even know what's happening. You won't even live to see what happened to it. But it's benefiting others. If when you have that kind of mind to grow and not to realize all the fruit or profit of that or the harvest of that for yourself in your day and time, there's a saying in Arabic, little children textbook that says, the man was planting this tree. It's a date palm, I believe. And the children asked the old man, and say, "Old man, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm planting a date palm." He said, "For what?" He said, "So it will bear fruit." They say, will you eat it, the fruit? He said, "No." He said, "It won't bear fruit in my lifetime." He said, "But those coming later will eat from it." You see? But he was planting date palms. Now, I wonder what would happen to date palms if they were all left to most African Americans. I'm just wondering, you know, I don't know. But the way we act sometimes, it's hard for me to see African Americans planting date palms and they know they ain't gonna get nothing from it. Now, I imagine there'd be a scattered date palm here and there. But most of us, we don't want to do anything unless we're going to get it ourselves right away. Do you think I'd be coming out here to Birmingham doing what I do and spending the time all over these United States that I spend if I was just doing this for myself to get it back? No. I can't even do that until I first want to see something come to somebody generations down the road. You can't even do that. I can't do that just for you. It ain't necessary to do that just for you. I can do what I want to do for you and over the telephone or radio or through the paper. When you have that kind of mind to grow and not to realize all the fruit or profit of that or the harvest of that for yourself in your day and time, there's a saying in Arabic, little children textbook that says, the man was planting this tree. It's a date palm, I believe. And the children asked the old man, and say, "Old man, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm planting a date palm." Said, "For what?" He said, "So it will bear fruit." They say, will you eat it, the fruit? He said, "No." He said, "It won't bear fruit in my lifetime." He said, "But those coming later will eat from it." You see? But he was planting date palms. Now, I wonder what would happen to date palms if they were all left to most African Americans. I'm just wondering, you know, I don't know. But the way we act sometimes, it's hard for me to see African Americans planting date palms and they know they ain't gonna get nothing from it. Now, I imagine there'd be a scattered date palm here and there. But most of us, we don't want to do anything unless we're going to get it ourselves right away. Do you think I'd be coming out here to Birmingham doing what I do and spending the time all over these United States that I spend if I was just doing this for myself to get it back? No. I can't even do that until I first want to see something come to somebody generations down the road. You can't even do that. I can't do that just for you. It ain't necessary to do that just for you. I can do what I want to do for you and over the telephone, on radio, all through the paper in one day. But we want this to be around here for the generations to come. And that makes the difference. When you have the mind to invest in something, to bring benefit to more than yourself and to people after you are dead, then you really have the ambition, or you really have the aspiration that will get you not only help from intelligent people, but you will have God and his angels on your side. Yes, God and his angels will be on your side because you are helping God's cause. That's what God wants. God doesn't want to just look out for us today. He wants to look out for our children, children to come way down the road. And he's not interested in just us in this room. He's interested in all the people out there. Yeah. And when you get that kind of interest, believe me, God is going to be with you. You'll be successful. Now, this is philosophical. I know a lot of my talk is just philosophical. To you, it's just philosophical. To me, it's philosophical and... But I guarantee it works. It works. If you open your mind for the vision and sensitivity, then open your heart for the sensitivity that I'm lost, you're going to be a successful. You're going to be successful, it's guaranteed. Our prayer is a call to success. Hayya ala salah, which comes after Hayya ala salat. Salat is prayer. Hayya ala salah comes after. And it's translated by most translators, come to success. Come to success. Hayya ala salah. Now, I said, if you obey the disciplines that God gives us, you're going to be successful. God says, if you come to prayer, you're going to be successful. And that's only one discipline. That's only one of the disciplines. Salat is only one of our units of discipline. And Allah says, how do I know Allah says? So, well, no, Brother Imam, Allah didn't say that. Some of the companions saw that in a dream. Two of the companions, they saw it in a vision. And that's how that call to prayer came about. But the prophet also said it. And when he heard them say it, what he had also seen, also saw it. When he heard them say what he had also seen, then he approved it as Allah's intent. So see, I'm a little bit out of the head of that one that's looking just at me. If you can't look beyond me, buddy, I'm way ahead of you. Now, hayya alal falah, come to success. So 5 times a day, a Muslim is called to success. And some of these holy sheikhs and Sunnis and Sufis and Kufis, they don't want me to talk about worldly success. And that's the difference between real religion and guesswork religion. One calls you to success after you're dead, and the real religion calls you to success here and after. And ain't nobody gonna change my mind about this religion. No, indeed. No. Because the communists, look here, Malcolm wasn't the only one that was looking at communism. I was looking at it one time, too. And the more I learned about the Quran, the less attractive communism became to me. Yes. I have no knowledge at all that the Soviet Union would look like it looks now in the grave. I had no knowledge that that would ever come in my lifetime. But I thank God he had mercy on me and I made the proper choice. Islam over communism. Hayya alal falah. Come to success. In the morning before the sun is up, someone in the Muslim family or in the Muslim community is supposed to ring out so the neighborhood hears or so the household hears, come to success. Yes, now, if you told five times a day, it's ringing out all in the neighborhood, all that, come to success, you know you're supposed to be successful. Now, how come third world Islamic society, how come it's not successful? And it's hearing all that. Oh, come to success! I can explain it to you very easily. You were told, come to the Quran, and you weren't coming to it.
Go ahead, brother.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? See, I was back there. I was a boy in the 30s, young boy in the 30s. I was growing up to be a bigger boy in the 40s. I was a young man in the 50s. I was grown, well on to come a man with a family in the 60s. And for all those years, I heard the call that the Quran was our book. That's what I heard. But we hadn't come to it. So now you, if anybody should understand, you should understand how those people can hear come to success. And they're getting up, but they ain't coming to success. They get up in the morning, they ain't going to success, though. Still walking behind everybody else. Now, it's not all the Muslim world, but that's the great majority of the Muslim world. They don't measure up to what they say they believe in. As a reason for that, the intent has to be right. The perception has to be right. See, you can be given a wrong idea, and it will blind you so that your perception will never be right until something changed within you to make you displeased with the way you are perceiving things.
Yes, sir.
Then you start to perceive right. And it's no big deal, no big complicated matter. Believe in God. You know what Prophet Muhammad told advice? When one person came to him, for him to give, you know, like you go to the person for the lucky number. You know, you believe in a person who got those numbers. You go to a person and you want that lucky number. Well, this was a person coming to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be on the Prophet, for that lucky number. And he knew the prophet, if anybody could give it to him, it was the prophet. He said, tell me something that nobody can tell me. Now, please listen to what I'm saying. He said, tell me something that nobody can tell me other than you. Now, what the prophet said to him, you're going to say anybody could have told him that. The prophet says to him, he says to the young man, he says, say, I believe. And thereafter, be straight. Or be straight up, as the youngsters say out there. You know? That's all he told him. Now, you know, if I had walked to one of these scholars, African-American scholars in the religion, and told him, look here, brother, tell me something in Islam that nobody else can tell me. Oh, man, I've been there. I'd have been there listening to him until I had to order a box of Excedrin Plus. But the prophet answered so quickly and so simply put, he says, say I believe. Why did the prophet say I believe? So that you will be conscious. It will be written indelibly in your conscience what you're saying. He wanted to brand it into the mind of that person. Don't just hear me say, you say it. See, to say something, you have to give some, you have to concentrate a little bit, you know. It's easy for you to hear somebody else say, but he told him to say, say, I believe. And when you become a Muslim, you have to say, I can't say it for you. You have to say, I witness one God and Muhammad the prophet. You see? You have to say that. Yes. So he said, say I believe and thereafter be upright or be straight. That's what he told him. Now, say, well, anybody could have told him that. Nobody else but the prophet could have told him that. Now I'm going to show you. I'm going to explain to you what I mean. This man asked for something that the average person would have thought was a big deal. Only the prophet could answer him in such plain, simple language, give him such easy advice. And only the prophet could speak in the context of revelation from the beginning to the end to the last prophet. Only he could speak in the context of revelation. Yes. When he answered that person, he was speaking in the context of revelation from Adam to himself, Muhammad. Now, how is that to be understood? There are those in religion who say I believe, and you shall be saved. That's all. They don't say any more than that. No, believe on him, and you shall be saved. Prophet Muhammad, in the context of Scripture, knew where the problem was. So he didn't say you believe and stop. He said, say you believe and thereafter be straight. In other words, the burden is on you. You can't say you believe and somebody else going to make up for your wrongs. Somebody else going to be getting your whippings when you deserve it. No. If you don't want the whippings, say you believe and follow it up with obedience. Oh, yeah, this is good stuff here, man. Yeah, shouting, talking, say you believe and you shall be saved. No, say you believe and then I have to obey or you're going to be whipped again. Hey, nobody else going to take your whippings. We have a surah, but no. I wanted to further explain the call to success. You know, the call to success is given in translation in English for the word hayya. It means come, yes. But hayya comes from the word, it is a word that means life. Hayya al-salah. Come to prayer. Come to prayer. Hayya al-salah. Come to success. What is that call saying? That if you obey the call to pray to God, you're going to be coming to success. Coming to prayer is the same as coming to success. I don't say I believe it, I know it. I know it. Because I'm not perfect in my obedience to my prayers. But I have a desire to be perfect in my obedience to my prayer. And God has made me successful. I'm not a failure, I'm a success. And I don't claim the credit without acknowledging you. You made it possible. But God has blessed me with success and on the level that I have it because I want to obey perfectly. Everything that he orders us to do. I don't measure up to it always, but that's my desire. And that's the believer. See, doesn't mean we're angels, we're perfect. No, we're not. But we should desire to do everything Allah asks of us. And to do it exactly as he asks. Not the way we interpret or the way we twist and excuse ourselves. No. We admit that we're just wrong. That's what makes a powerful human being. When he can say, Lord, I was wrong. Forgive me. That's right. That's a great human being. The one that ain't never got no sins to admit, he's not a human being. Might be a devil. You ain't a human being. Yes. Come to prayer, come to success. So Allah wants us to be successful. And he wants us to be successful as living human beings, not as dead people. This is not a religion that just calls us to be successful after death, after the grave. No, he wants us to be successful while we exist in this mortal form, this body, this flesh. He wants us to be successful. And he assures us that we will be successful if we obey the disciplines. The most important one is prayer. Obey that alone, you'll be successful. Well, ain't no way to obey that alone and not obey others. That's going to condition you to have the fullest amount of, involvement in the religion. Prayer will make you want to do everything. It'll make you want to help in the field of education, to help the Claremont School. It'll want to make you do everything. It wants to make you be material. You want to be successful materially. You want to be successful as a parent. You want to have social status, social esteem, social respect. It makes you just all around a person desiring success, an all around achiever, if you will take prayer seriously. And understand that our prayer is not a prayer without education. To make our prayers, we have to recite the Quran. And the Quran is a book of knowledge. Not only a book of faith, it's a book of knowledge. The Quran educates us. So if we recite the prayers, five daily prayer, we are being educated while we are reciting our prayers.